You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Ian, where is Deshaun going next?
Deshaun Watson is expected to be a member of the Cleveland Browns. Yes, the Cleveland Browns in an unbelievable, stunning turn of events. And that is not all. When this trade is completed, Watson is expected to get a 5-year, $230 million contract that is fully guaranteed. That is $80 million more than the previous record for fully guaranteed money at signing. And now Deshaun Watson headed to the Cleveland Browns.
There are Browns fans who are seeing this as a good day. There are Browns fans, and I imagine maybe this is the majority ultimately, that see this as a bittersweet day. And then there are still others that see this as a sad day. And at the risk of being melodramatic, maybe the day the Browns sold their soul for success. Dan Hans is here, Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. And yes, it is melodramatic, but man, this whole saga has been melodramatic and not in a good way, as sometimes melodrama is not. Cleveland Browns have a new face of the franchise. It's Deshaun Watson, the Browns who were out until they said, but how about this? And that was money. That was record-breaking, guaranteed money. Dan Hansis, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Mark, I know we've had some fun this week, even though you're saying it's not fun, about getting out on the Browns, retiring as a fan. I don't know where you come down right now, but I think it's safe to say it's time to clear the runway and get your thoughts on one of the biggest, if not the biggest, transaction in the history of the franchise, for better or worse.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been pretty clear about where I've been mentally with this past week and this whole unexpected and bizarre journey. And I like, first of all, think that there's so many other centers of attention here, and this is our show, and I get why you'd want me to comment on where I'm at, but like I'm done with the team, and like, it's just where my heart's at. Like, I feel, it's sad to me, because I, even before, you know, we finished our TV show and we rushed out to do other things than football because it's been a long week. And then this happened, you know, 35 minutes later. And, in the time between then and now, I've just been thinking back about, kind of what the Browns meant to me, that I definitely wouldn't be sitting here, talking to you guys. I wouldn't have pursued football as a career on any level. You know, I don't even really like other sports. It was a football thing always, and it was a Cleveland Browns thing. And it was one of the biggest magnetic pulls of my youth. But I've changed a lot, and like, going through the years, the Browns have felt more and more. I mean, I think even when they were dysfunctional, but you could understand it was an on-field dysfunction, they were a one-sided relationship that often felt like I was just, you know, the butt of all jokes, you know, with them playing the jokes on Browns fans directly. At this point, this is a different type of lever pull and organizational decision. It's a huge decision. I think that I don't know if they understand inside their bubble what it means to different types of Browns fans and people out there and how their organization will be perceived forever. To your point, Dan, I think it's the biggest transaction they've ever made. And I feel like I just can't, this sports already feels cynical enough to me. I can't sit around and rah-rah this. I'm out. And that's it. Like, that's sort of where I'm at right now. And I need a break. And why am I out? It's like, because they've gone and put all the chips in on someone that I think where we are in 2021, and I don't care about, I'm already getting killed by pockets of Browns fans. Like, what about Kareem Hunt? What about this or that? You're right. I don't think personally, like as a fan of the team, I ever thought about taking certain stances. I don't know why. I can't explain the past, but this stands up to me as something completely different. I think everyone has to make a choice if you're a Browns fan on where you are on this. And I don't really care where anyone else is. I care where I'm at. And I, like, at my age, at 48, like, is it more important to be loyal as a fan to a team or to just think about where I am today? And I'm done. It's over.
Right. Like, my experience, obviously, so different than yours watching this story, Mark, but I was with Keisha, had like a nice, an hour or so in between before picking up the kids. And she was already out watching games, college basketball. She's into the tourney and eating sandwich, and got the news while I was with her. And it got me thinking about kind of what you're talking to and about, like, we were saying what Wes would say in that situation. And it was something Wes and I talked about a lot, was like, we love sports and we get so into it, and there's something like beautiful about it. And I think personally, like, this story's been especially troubling just because it's just such a reminder that it's not, sports isn't just like some distraction from life. Like, the same shittiness that's in life is in sports. And this one was just so shameless about it and so bald about it, that it was just disheartening. And like, I love doing this job, you guys know that and stuff, but it's like, we're all sick of talking about Deshaun Watson. It's not about us, but it's like, we've kind of set our piece. I'm sick of the coverage, though. Like, I'm sick of every network's coverage, you know, and just sick of like hearing the reaction to it, sick of hearing like what Andrew Berry savvily did to like bring Watson in with the guaranteed money. Like, the terms are kind of part of what's sickening. Like, I'm sick of like needing to make content out of it too, though. Like, that's cynical. I'm sick of people like saying, oh, you did a good job, like talking about, it's like all that stuff. It's just like, it's not why we are in on this job. It's not why we love sports. And it's just frustrating because it makes you think about the people that you work with and the people that you work for and how disappointing they are. And like, again, I was with Keisha and she had a very Wes like sage wisdom in the moment. It's like, it's everything. It's not like, you know, it's not like something changed. It's not like, this story is totally unique, in some ways, but in many ways it's not. It's just like, that's the world we live in. And for some reason, being up close and kind of knowing how the machinery all works behind the scenes of how these things get covered and then how the teams are making these decisions. And you said it, like how cynical they are and how they aren't thinking about anyone else on the outside. It's just frustrating.
And what it came down to, now that we have the full timeline in front of us, was once the NFL, and by NFL I mean the 32 teams here, knew that Deshaun Watson wasn't going to go to prison for what he's accused of, despite all these standing civil cases. Once that hurdle was cleared, that's where, yes, you could say the shamelessness came in. Everyone said, not everyone, but a lot of teams said, I want that guy to be the face of my franchise. And the Browns, it wasn't, even though we've talked about the inconsistencies and the failings of the reporting in the industry around this story, what it sounds like here is that they didn't get the story wrong in the last 24 hours. The Browns were out. They were told they were out. And then the reporting was this morning that it was going to be the Falcons or the Saints. And then the Browns had conversations, obviously, behind the scenes. They have all the Baker, speaking of melodrama, Baker Mayfield situation brewing. And they said, what if we did something unprecedented? And I guess you could call that savvy by Andrew Berry and the Browns, or whatever term you want to use. But ultimately, it was like the desperation of it all. 5 years, fully guaranteed, $230 million contract to make Deshaun Watson change his mind. And it's good you said that, Greg, because that's something I wrote down when I was just thinking about this situation. We talked about the Bills yesterday, and I talked about on the podcast how there was a desperation to the Bills, but not necessarily the bad kind of desperation. It was just that feeling that we're right there and we want it so bad to finally bring a Lombardi to Buffalo that we're going to give Von Miller this contract we might regret. The Browns, this is the other type of desperation. This is the team that's been a laughingstock for so long that finally had a taste of success, and then all of a sudden things started to back up on them again, and you had the Baker Mayfield story spinning out of control, and everyone was looking at the Browns and talking about the Browns. Oh man, same old Browns. So they do this to, in their estimation, change the trajectory of the franchise or put them back on a championship path. But I don't know if the trajectory here, Mark, is going to be what they bargained for. Yes, they are a much better team now, even though losing all those draft assets is problematic. You now have one of the top five quarterbacks in the sport, arguably locked and loaded for years to come. But ultimately, at what cost beyond $230 million? Because I think, and this is why, even as a non-Browns fan, it's just like it changes the trajectory of how people see the Browns, who are never going to be seen as a lovable, fun, upstart team to root for. When they do get on track, they're going to be seen as the team that hired the guy that's facing sexual assault charges or allegations from dozens of women. And there's just no way to go around that they looked at that and said, we can deal with that because we need to get to where we want to go when it comes to wins and losses. And that's just disappointing.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's blind ambition. And I get also that in a vacuum, if you're a general manager, you're measured by the players you bring in the roster that you build. And if this were, you know, simply a data-driven computer game, then Andrew Berry is savvy. And Kevin Stefanski and the ownership and everyone else, they are. But the problem is that football, I mean, the way that I view football and what got me into football, there's always this immense human side. Like, I didn't get into football as a fan. I don't mean just to go down this road, but by watching athletes do special things, that's cool. But then when you watch that 300 times, like anything that you do 300 times starts to get rote. But it's the story behind it, the people, and especially like when I came in as a Browns fan, it was Bernie Kosar, it was Marty Schottenheimer, Ernest Biner. Think of people like that, how we think about those people today and how they were faulty and they failed. And I learned a lot right out of the gate with the drive and the fumble about failing and then getting back up. And that's always what the Browns were to me. This is the reverse. This is the story you can't root for, or I can't.
Oh, go ahead, Mark.
No, I mean, I think that a big chunk of fans can, and that's the difference between how some of us view sports and attach to it or willingly detach from it.
That's what I was going to say. I don't want to be hypocritical about this. Like, if it was the Jets that were getting Deshaun Watson, I try to imagine like how I'd be feeling. I would definitely be unhappy with the process. It would be the same thing I just said about the Browns, that the Jets, if they ever get their shit together, would be a really great feel-good story. And you, that'd be part of the fun ride with seeing like the nationally and internationally people getting behind the team. It's not going to happen if you have a guy like Deshaun Watson. But then there is the part of you, the person that's the sports fan, that where I was born into it. I was born into being a Jets fan from my dad, Keith. Like, now I have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And it's just like we were talking about with Nick Wessling tweeting at you yesterday, like when you are born into it, when it's in your blood, it makes something like this even more difficult to process. And that's why I'm not going to stand here on a soapbox and say anybody that you know is going to still root for the fans for the Browns now is dirt, because I know it's not that simple. But it just makes the idea of being a sports fan and a Browns fan a much more tricky proposition. And that's the bummer of it too, because it is one of the great fan bases in the league.
And one little thing, like I think if you really wanted to have a fair show, you could bring a Browns fan on, and I know some inside the building that choose to still root for the team, because it's not me espousing, you know, here's my take on it and everyone else is wrong if they think otherwise. I genuinely think that there are different people that are going to come from different points of view. This is mine. It's a complex situation. I can't really remember an NFL situation like this. I think also because, like, society's changing a little bit. I think if this happened in 1972, there wouldn't really be the same discussion around it. There wouldn't. And I can't explain, you know, all that either. But it is a complex problem to drop on this pool, this fan base. But also think about Panthers fans, Falcons fans, Saints fans, Seahawks, whoever else that were in on this that failed. And you still walk away feeling like, wow, our organization showed their true colors. And that creates that same dilemma for those people too.
Look, we've been talking about why this story is difficult this week and everything. And I know some listeners are probably sick of that, hearing that side of things. But it's like now is the time to talk about it. We're going to talk about football when he's playing football. I never was from the vantage point that, like, this guy should never play football again. I was from the vantage point of nothing's changed since this started. He's still the same. The allegations have only grown worse. They're out there. You can read them. The NFL, I expect, will suspend him significantly. And it was just all the ways to get to this point, like the process of, like, that you didn't have to do it that way. You didn't have to kind of whitewash everything for his agent. You didn't have to be an advertisement for David Muggeletta, because that's sort of what this all felt like to me. The most powerful agent in the league controlling this as well as humanly possible, and partly, like, using that as an advertisement of how powerful he is and the kind of clients that he's going to get in the future, and how far out those tentacles go in terms of power inside of the media, inside of, you know, the front offices, ownership, all of that. Like, you just didn't have to, like, contribute to that. You didn't have to pay $246 guaranteed $1 million. Like, you didn't have to give up 3 first round draft picks. In the end, you did, because he did this job. But it wasn't like, hey, let's get this guy at a discount. It's like, not only do we not discount him for the way that he essentially was a predator for women, not only are we going to discount, I think he did better than he would have done a year ago. Like, we're going to reward it because we haven't seen him in a year going into a suspension. And so it's all these, like, little different steps of the process, I think, that are frustrating, because he got rewarded. Like we're sounding annoyed about it, but like women in this industry and us, like, I find it very, it's discouraging, because it's like you're working in that industry and it's discouraging. And if you're a victim of sexual violence or misconduct or anything, it's like, it's so discouraging that ultimately it's like, no one gave a shit. And I should know that. I shouldn't have been so naive. There's something about being a quarterback and the head of the team, but look at what's going on within ownership in our league. Like, many different things over the last few years that have been as bad stories, and it's like that doesn't change either. So in part, that's like part of my naivete, but I remember covering the Ben Roethlisberger story and no one wanted him. And there are different stories, and you can find the differences, but that's not the point to me. It's like, do you care about something other than money and wins, or do you not? And the Roethlisberger thing, like, the Steelers are ready to trade him. Like, no, like, we reported it at Pro Football Talk at the time. They were putting it out there. I know that for a fact. No one was going for him when that thing was up in the air. This was different, because it felt like not only, like, aren't the networks talking about the other side of things and the fan base and the fracture that you're seeing, that, like, you're making Mark Sessler not root for the Browns, but also that you just like are going to go the extra mile to be shameless about it and sort of not have any idea. And that's where they left it. Like, we will talk about the football, of course. That's all, you know, that's all we do is talk about football two or three times a week. But like to come back here and talk about him, it's disappointing.
Ultimately, Watson's reputation is permanently stained. He missed the full season of play, and he'll probably miss anywhere between, let's say, I don't know, 4 to 17 more games in the upcoming season. But other than that, he's got everything he wanted out of this. At the end of the day, he wanted out of Houston. He got out of Houston. And he wasn't even initially asking to get his contract ripped up and turned into the greatest quarterback contract ever, but he got that too. And that's what's mind-blowing and so crazy about this. And also, I just went and checked on Cleveland Browns' Twitter. There's no note, there's no mention of this. Just like we talked about yesterday, I said I had a hunch that they could try to Friday news dump this. I said 5 o'clock. It was 4 o'clock on a Friday that the Browns pull the trigger on the biggest deal in the history of the franchise. And they don't even have any announcements online right now. I don't know if a press release is out. I don't know if it's official yet or whatever. But it is notable that that is absolutely what they're trying to do here. This is all part of the plan.
You nailed it. You called it.
You
did. To keep this. They know they're going to get killed, and they deserve to be killed in a lot of ways here. And they're trying to control that and spin it however they can. It's just, Mark, at the end of the day, to me, it's surreal. It's just surreal that this now comes to the Browns' doorstep, and they welcomed the situation to their doorstep.
And they're gambling on the short attention span of us all. Because even to Greg's point, while now is the time to talk about the nuance and the layers of it, it's going to fade away and we're just going to wind up tired of that aspect and talking about the football aspect. That will become the normal way this situation.
And that makes sense. Like, that's not what we're going to do is talk about the outfit. Like, that's why this was like the time to talk about it. And watching, like, I just like wonder, like, what did all the extra, like being nice to Deshaun Watson's agent get you? No one had this story. No one had any of it. No one's had any of these stories. Like, in fact, like I know you can say like Dan, it wasn't wrong and they jumped back in, and maybe that's true. Maybe that's not, because the fire hose of information that's been coming out has been basically from one camp, and you don't know. I don't know what happened in those meetings. Maybe will happen in those meetings. Like, we don't know how all that happened, but it didn't get you anything. Like all of it would have happened anyways.
All right.
Yeah, and here's though, man. That was a truth bomb you sent out on a dart on Thursday night. And when you said it, I was like, ooh, that was pretty good there. Maybe.
No, I mean, it's, I guess we've been doing this long enough where you start to see some of those things, but even within the realm of having some experience in this business now, the fact that there will never be one that's at this level, because to a name this big, a transaction this big, as thorny as the issue is, to pull it, the Friday news dump on Deshaun Watson, that's an all-timer. And
I will tell you one thing. I don't care if Tom Brady in the next 60 minutes is kidnapped by like land pirates. We're not doing another show this week.
We're done. This is it. You're lucky if you're going to get me next week. In fact, I'm going to Disneyland next week. You'll get me maybe Monday, and that's it. And you're right, Mark. You are absolutely right. And I'll be cynical here too now. Yes, everyone's in their feelings about this story. In 2 years, no one's going to care. And the Browns will be an AFC contender, and they might win a Super Bowl, or they might not. But there will be people that always bring this up, but I just feel like the story as we talk about it now is going to fade away, and the Browns will finally have their answer at quarterback. And that's why they did it ultimately, because they're banking on history repeating itself. You know, as much of a bummer as that might be. Here are the trade terms just to get it out there. And then we're going to sign off in a couple minutes just because we wanted to get the reaction in. In fact, we kind of wanted to let it simmer a little bit, but we had some inside the building, shadowy league figure saying, "Get it up there, get it up there." And we're like,
you know what? It made sense though. It was just one of those things. You were right. I was like, I personally, just speaking for myself, was in my feelings, and in the immediate feeling, just as related even to the show, was like, screw that guy. We're not doing anything extra for that guy. Like,
by the way, I'm supposed to be at a bar, by the way, watching March Madness with my friends, drinking beer. The son of a. Anyway, the trade terms, it is 3 first round picks in addition to a 2023 third rounder and a 2024 fourth rounder. So the Browns mortgage their future entirely, obviously, here, and hope that Watson will be great enough to cover up the balance. And I would think for whoever the team was going to be, including the Browns, they'll never admit this, but I assume, and maybe they know more internally, these teams, than the outside does, that the suspension will be beefy. And you combine that with no first round pick and any other roster flaws you might have, and now maybe some salary cap tightness because of your deal you just did. And maybe you're like punting on the season and you're looking at the long game here. Again, the long game. It's going to be a little rough for a year or two here when people are upset about this. But in the big picture, the Browns are going to be in a really good place. I wonder if they thought about that too, like their 2022 prospects, but we see a bigger picture here with Watson leading the way for a long time.
Remember that Mark Sanchez apology contract when they like went after some other quarterback?
Peyton Manning.
They went after Peyton Manning. They felt bad. And then they gave him the apology contract.
In fact, Dan got in trouble
Arthur Blank can give Matt Ryan like an apology corporation. Like, give him Home Depot or give him an apology yacht. Like, your friend, like, that's the thing. We had a show today that got blown up, or it stopped in the middle of the show, and you mentioned, like, all the losers in this situation. It's like, there are other losers in this, too, and the Falcons are right there at the top of the list. Jeez.
I mean, yeah. The only thing worse than showing your butt to get Deshaun Watson is showing your butt and then not getting Deshaun Watson. So, you know, whatever, man. This is the last podcast of the week.
Deuces.
Better believe it is.
Mark, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with this, our podcast, as well, as I look insular with the Browns now. It's man, I don't know, man. I don't know what's going to happen with you. I'm really interested to see what happens next because, yeah, you have one of the best quarterbacks in the league now. But at what cost?
People, it's crazy, Mark, because like, I was sitting with Keisha and I like to think we're all close friends. And, you know, our first reaction, of course, both of our first reactions was like, oh, poor Mark. And just like, a little worried, Mark. And then I know on Twitter, it's the same. It's the same.
Well, you know what, though? I will say I'm going to explore this, but I kind of feel free. This has been hanging around my neck for 35 plus years. Like, this kind of feels maybe like what I needed to do. So,
but psychologically, it's a mind bender, Mark, because you now are going to be in a situation potentially where the Browns rise up as an organization with a superstar quarterback. I'm just, again, like I said earlier, I want to make it very clear. There's no soapbox here or judging of Browns fans, because if it was the Jets that got Deshaun Watson, it's in my blood. It's something I can't escape from. And I don't know how I would react to it and make peace with it. You are right now saying you're out, and that's because you're a passionate man. And that's part of one of the many reasons we love you. I want to see how the next 6 to 18 months play out. All right, 6 days to 18 months play out to see how this really turns out.
Well, that's fair. And I will say one thing. I didn't grow up in Cleveland. I can't say it's in my blood. I found them on my own growing up on the East Coast. And I love, having been to Cleveland a bunch of times, I love the city. I love Browns fans in general. They've been it's one of my best experiences of working at the MNL has been Browns fans. And so I'm not, whatever they choose to do, I want happiness for them. But like, we can go in a different way.
All right. We have done 5 podcasts and a television show this week. We'll now break, and I'm turning off my phone and and deleting my work email, and no one can touch me for the next 2 days. And oh no, wait, Power Rankings is due on Monday morning. I'm not even thinking about that right now. I want everybody to have a nice weekend. I want everybody to enjoy themselves. Have a safe weekend. Get a little loose if you have to. Process some things. And then we'll see you again on Monday with another edition of the podcast. I was a little bummed I didn't get a chance to do it on Thursday night, but now that we have this extra chance, I want to bring in Gravedigger, but he knows he can't come in unless he does his new intro.
Gravedigger.
There he
Hello.
Is. And we want to thank you, Justin, for awesome work all week. You picked one hell of a week to be a full-time producer for ATN, and the shows were great with you leading the way. So thank you, good man.
Appreciate it. It was a fun week.
All right, good stuff.
You know what? You know what else we got to do this weekend? I feel it stronger than ever at this moment. We got to heed the call. That's what.
Yes. I like it. Beautifully said, Greg Rosenthal, Chris Wessling. We wish you were with us right now to be discussing this madness, but we'll be thinking about you while we spend our time with our families and friends. So until Monday, yes, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without fingersticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.